pleasure to once again welcome you to the General Outreach Message Bible Study. This is Lesson 21 from our Messages of the Bible series. For those of you who are new to our Bible study, these Bible studies not only tell the stories of the Bible, but also the messages for us within these stories. I am Elder Fagan, teacher for the Messages of the Bible series. Let's begin this lesson with praise and worship to God for allowing us the privilege of seeing the beginning of a brand new year. I wanted to do this Bible study at the beginning of the year. The Holy Spirit really made me wait, but I found out as the message became clear that the message that God was giving me was valuable for any time during the year. So let's get right into the lesson. As with the beginning of each new year, we started this year filled with hopes, dreams, and ambitions of how different this year was going to be. With much determination, we even made plans for what we were going to do to make it happen. We were so positive that we went so far as to make resolutions. Well, the first 2 months of the new year have now passed. With all our good intentions, plans, and determinations, I ask you, how are you doing? For some of us, by now, we are struggling, but despite this fact, we're doing quite well with our plans. For the rest of us, all our plans have failed, and we are just about at the point of giving up and going back to what was comfortable last year. Because, you see, we as human beings are creatures of habit. And when challenged, we tend to revert back to acting as we acted in our comfortable state. No matter how unsatisfied we were with them when we were there. But we must be aware that the longer these habits continue, the deeper they become ingrained in our consciousness, and the harder they are to break. This is true for any habit, whether good or bad. But hold on, don't quit yet. We're out to get some help. For those of us who are trusting and believing in God, our plans and resolutions for the new year have to be made in conjunction with improving our relationship with God, so that all we do will glorify Him. Whatever we have resolved to do this year, whether it is to exercise more, eat better, to improve our health, or to get rid of bad habits. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 teaches us, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If we do not, we are doomed for failure. God has already given provisions in His Word to provide whatever we need to accomplish whatever task we take on. All we need to do is believe God, ask God, trust God, have faith in God, and never doubt His Word. These words will be our focus point in this lesson. From time to time, we almost see errors in our life that we struggle with, areas that we wish could be different. Believe it or not, our biggest challenges in our life are trying to change our bad habits. And yes, we all have them. Have you ever vowed to quit an ungodly habit behind you only to fall again soon after? Believe you with such a feeling of guilt that you literally cry out to God, Lord, help me. But after we cry out to God, despite the frustration, somehow we find the courage to try again. Sometimes we repeat the same cycle over and over again as we give in to the same temptation. This is a good example of the war between spirit and flesh. Spoken off in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it said, "For the flesh you must get the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that we cannot do the things that we were." Once we understand this, we can surrender God, and He will be in the battle for us and through us, for He is Christ in us, our hope of glory. To better understand this statement by reading among the Gentiles. This is a must reading. So go ahead, read Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 27. Because in this lesson, we want to concentrate on getting rid of those bad habits. Just to name a few of the most common bad habits that are plaguing our society today are the use of foul language. We hear it in our music and in our everyday conversation. In other words, our uncontrolled impulse. We see this in our road rage, on our streets and highways. We even sometimes lose our temper in our home while we are just communicating with each other. Other than gambling, drugs, smoking, drinking, gossiping, lying, pornography, sexual promiscuity, believe it or not, some of these bad habits are found right in the church. Yes, unfortunately, in the church. Just to name a few bad habits I see in the church are gambling. Yes, gambling. I know a believer who just can't stop playing the lottery and going to the riverboat. They're literally hooked. Others are hooked on smoking, drinking, gossiping. How often have you been called by a member of the church calling to talk about another member? And if you listen long enough, you will find yourself joining in and later all found out that you were not the only one that got the call. And not only that, but your contribution to the conversation will pass on to the next person. So let your heart in such a conversation be. That's perfect. That's perfect. Oh, that's perfect. You know, the most disturbing thing about this is, as believers, we are not aware that we are participating in this behavior. We're just so wrapped up into literally ignoring our participation. These are hard habits to break, and I know that one out of every three that will listen to this Bible study have had to or still trying to overcome at least two from the list above. I know. Because I myself have overcame at least three from the list. So that is why I can teach this lesson with confidence that those bad habits can be broken. How does God want us to approach these areas? Is there a way we can find wisdom from the Bible that we find and find real change? Yes, there is. The way we do this is by God's grace, which is sufficient, and His power. And no other way. Change does not come easily. Nor what changes to make is not enough. We also need to know how to make them. Old practices and attitudes must be replaced by new ones, and God's word is our best source of guidance. When we are convinced that the most important purpose but the changes we are trying to make in life is to glorify God, that is where we will find the means to make the necessary changes. So for those of us who are struggling or have fallen, let's get into the Word and get the help we need to get back on the right track to successfully accomplish our New Year's goal and resolution. Listen closely, because this Bible study will help us. Now that our attention is focused on what we need to do to accomplish our goal for the year, let's see what the message of the word is for our success. When we are fighting an especially difficult habit to break, the first thing we must do is pray and ask God for help. In James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, we must act in faith without any doubting. But the one who doubts on life is served of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, meaning we are going to be all over the place and never accomplishing anything. This is from that not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So get focused. Be convicted that God is where your help and success will come from. You must get anchored in this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not from your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Let's just take a moment and consider what's being said here. No matter how you see it, which side finds it, lean not into your own understanding. You should always bring Him into the picture. Verse 6 said, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Trust in God's word, have faith in God's word, and have a thousand word. Remember, these are our focus words in this lesson. Now, back to the scriptures. In Psalms 37 chapter, verse 4 to 5, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give to the desires of thine heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. How encouraging. Let's listen to this again. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's very encouraging. It's up to Him. Chapter 4, verse 13 encourages us that we can do all things to Christ who strengthens us. If we trust our own strength, we will fail. Sin can defeat us. If we use Christ's strength, we will succeed because Satan can never defeat Him. The reason so many of us have failed to break our bad habits in the past is because we have trusted our own power instead of depending on Christ's power working in us and through us. You know, I heard our youth host, the Shining Star, explain this so eloquent and with such conviction on our last Youth for Christ radio show. I must say to that statement, Doctor, amen. Well done. And I hope some of you who are listening and got that valuable message. People sometimes in business say, I just can't change, it's too late, I'm too old. And this is a good one. Anyway, I'm only here to make these kinds of excuses. We are not just demeaning ourselves. We are also defying God's word. Our failure will come simply because we give up instead of persisting in using God's power. If you commit yourself to the Lord and trust Him, He will accomplish this for you, no matter how strong the temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, promises us that God will not allow any temptation that beyond our ability to bear. He will always make the way of escape. Remember, God is faithful. He will always keep His promise. It follows then that we can bring any bad habit and develop good habit according to God's word. No matter how long you have practiced that bad habit, if God says to change, you can change. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 encourages profoundly. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Accept God's word about your habits. There is nothing that you can face in life that is not addressed in God's word. I can't emphasize enough. Study your Bible daily. Even if it takes just one chapter per day. And if you do one verse a day, try to remember one verse a day. And just think, at the end of the year, you will have 365 verses that you can call on at any time. You might not remember where they you saw them, but in your time of need, they will pop up in your mind. That works, believe me. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Regularly remind yourself of these verses, write them down and place them where they will remind you, or place them on your bathroom mirror, on your refrigerator, on the table and meal them, and on your TV, let them surround you, and every room in your house has some scripture. So when you walk through your house, you can feel the presence and the peace and the protection of God. That's really what I'm trying to do. In Matthew chapter, verse 1 through 11, his soul became temptation by quoting the scripture. But this worked only because he knew the scripture. We will ask the verses in back to your table so that when you are tempted, it will come to mind automatically and stretching you, both to yourself and to whatever is tempting you. Say, get thee behind me, Satan, it is ready. And then, quote a scripture and see how much better you feel. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, we should pray, do not lead us, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do you realize what you're asking when you pray this verse? We have to do our part to avoid people's places and situations that tempt us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, warns us to not be deceived. If the company of the world would have it, no, do not be deceived. Many people think they can return to bad company without returning to bad habits. They are deceived because some do not know the Word of God or do not have the knowledge of the Word of God. Many habits such as drinking, smoking, drugs, gambling, and sexual promiscuity are begun and continued because of peer pressure. We'll be surprised of how many grown-ups concede to peer pressure. Breaking such habits by themselves is hard enough, but it's far more difficult when friends are there enticing us to continue them by making them look desirable and fun. Most too often we hear the statement, I won't drink or dance or gamble. I'll just go to a tavern or dance hall or continue to be with my friends. When people have gathered together for the purpose of practicing their habits, we as Christians belong somewhere else. I love what the next scripture says. Listen closely. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 4 says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in moonlight, lust, darkness, reverence, drinking, parties. And God to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same world of indulgence. And they start to speak evil of you. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Of what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell within them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separated, said the Lord, and I will receive you. I will be your father, a father to you, and you shall be my son and Lord, said the Lord Almighty. Wouldn't you rather be called a son than daughter of the Lord Almighty than friends? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We cannot change the bad habits while continuing to run with the wild that produces the habit. Change in that habit will sometimes require changing your friends, because those friends just may be part of the habit. Do I need to repeat this? Changing the habits will sometimes require changing your friends, because those friends just may be part of the habit. Last one, consider the following. This is a portion of a quote from an unknown author. Once your actions, they become habits. Once your habits, they become character. What's your character? It becomes your destiny. Remember Psalms, the first chapter. So blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth fruit in its season. He says, his leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he does shall prosper. To the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff of the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of righteousness. So therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of righteousness. I am not asking you to abandon your family, but you shall. You should be now in a position to counsel them in the right direction. If you are not, stay away until you are. And if they resent you for that, then they were not your friends to begin with. And you are better off without them as part of your everyday life. Often people quit trying to serve God because they're overwhelmed by the sacrifice of how to live with some life for God. So when you get up each morning, promise yourself, I will live today for God. Don't worry about tomorrow. If it comes, you can handle it the same way you handle it today by trusting God with your life. I heard a story that I want to share with you. It's about two men who were climbing a steep pass for a mountain. One looked to the top and asked, how will you make it? The other took a deep breath and replied, one step at a time. And that is the only way for you to change your habits one day at a time, one step at a time. So I conclude with this note. Keep in mind, you cannot change yourself. God uses a number of things to accomplish this. But the primary truth he uses is his own words, recorded in the Bible. If you ignore it, you cannot work in us. You study it and put it to use, we will be able to enter our lives and transform us into what we desire according to His will. Meditating on God's Word allows His transforming power to renew our minds and change our hearts. So I hope from this point on, we will continue to use God's Word to make those New Year's goals and resolutions a reality. And when you look back, when this year ends, you will be so happy you did. If you have any questions or comments about this lesson, I just want to reach out to me for any reason. You may contact me on my special web page at LDFay. That's one word, LDERFAYE, at JourneyHomeMinistries.org. That's LDFay. Journey Home Ministries is one word, JourneyHomeInistries.org. I look forward to hearing from you.